For nearly 15 years, journalist Lionel Barber was editor of the London-based Financial Times, a newspaper sold and read widely in global centers of power. His access to world leaders gave him a front-row seat to some of the decision-making amid what he calls turbulent times. Since leaving his position last year, Barber has published a book based on his notes from his time as editor. He recently spoke with NewsHour Weekend reporter and former Financial Times colleague Christopher Booker.
The photo album Lionel Barber managed to assemble during his tenure as editor of the Financial Times is like a flipbook of global power. His 15 years running one of the world's most well-known financial newspapers brought a steady stream of interactions with CEOs like Disney's Bob Iger and world leaders like Gordon Brown, Vladimir Putin, and Donald Trump. No longer sitting in the captain's chair of the pink business paper, he's published a book, The Powerful and the Damned, Private Diaries in Turbulent Times. From the financial crisis to Brexit and the election of Donald Trump, Barber's notes not only peel back a bit of the curtain that surrounded the individuals at the forefront of these moments, but offer an unflinching analysis of how he, as editor of a newspaper charged with covering them, responded.
You detail a phone call early in your editorship from Hank Paulson. Hank Paulson is calling you from an airplane. He's just been nominated to be Treasury Secretary. You say this type of relationship would play a vital role during your time as editor. Why?
I saw this, number one, as, look, he's the Treasury Secretary. I run one of the most important newspapers in the world. Knowing what is on his mind is very important. But I'm never going to be solely reliable on him. But I am going to get some information and I'll be able to pass that on to reporters and I can tap in effect, to his network.
Barber notes that Paulson was calling him as the Treasury Secretary wanted to use the Financial Times as a means of communicating to an influential worldwide audience.
As you went through your notes, did your impression of power go through a dramatic change or transformation?
I understood better, reading my notes, how power had fragmented. Well, there's a fundamental change in media power in the 14 years plus that I was editor. And then, of course, the other big change was that liberal democracies really were under threat from the populists and from the enemies of liberal democracies like Putin, who were employing completely different methods, cyber attacks, counterinsurgency, propaganda, or what Donald Trump likes to call fake news.
What do you think holds more weight for your story? Those big, giant moments, Brexit, Donald Trump's election, the financial crisis, or all the moments in between that helped kind of build the context of what it was to be the editor at this institution?
I was constantly aware of the big picture, and this book tries to convey that. You know, globalization, and then the financial crash, the reaction, the political legacy, if you like, the backlash, the rise of populism. And then another sort of story and theme was the rise of digital, the digital revolution, which transformed media. But within that, I had access, and you mentioned some of the people, and I hate dropping names, like Putin and Trump that I interviewed. So when I did that, I took extensive notes so that I had a cinematic sort of diary on big moments.
What areas, if you were at the helm, where would you be telling your journalists to focus?
I would be looking at the threat of inflation with all this debt around. You know, at what point is monetary policy going to change? And even if it's a small change, uptick in inflation, it's likely to have a disproportionate impact on financial markets. So I'd certainly be looking for that. You've got to think about how far COVID has really changed the way societies are organized and the way we work. So it could be anything from offices, office space, to virtual working, to education, all these things. I tend to think some of the legacy of COVID will last. We're not going to go back to where we were. And then you've got to just be focusing on China. She's China. the power of the Communist Party now beginning to start squeezing the giants, the commercial business giants like Jack Ma, and the whole US-China. It's not necessarily a Cold War, but it's an age. This is the two superpowers are now facing off, and how that plays out.
Are you anticipating another debt crisis, particularly as it relates to, say, commercial real estate, as these offices don't fill up, as you have fewer tenants across all of these mega fantastic cities?
I tend to think that, you know, history doesn't repeat itself. It might rhyme sometimes, but it's not the same. So we shouldn't look at a replica of 2008. But when people say to me, inflation has been banished, it's a new model. Anytime people talk about new paradigm, I start running for the hills, or at least my old editor's office.